Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Today we gather to celebrate the great feast, the solemnity of the Epiphany, the day that the Lord is manifest to the Gentiles and all the whole world, all of creation. But the most familiar part of this story, as I know we're all aware, is that the star appeared and the Magi traveled and they brought him gifts. So I want to start with this. Why did the Magi come? It doesn't make much sense on a number of levels. Let's start with the fact that as Magi, not only were they not Jewish, they were clergy of another religion, Zoroastrianism. As Magi, they weren't citizens of Judea, as it's clear they came from a far country, and they certainly weren't part of the Roman Empire. As Magi, they were very wealthy, because otherwise you can't afford gold and frankincense and myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh, probably more expensive than the gold at the time. And the Zoroastrian faith taught just as much as the Jewish faith taught, that God is everywhere. There was one good God in Zoroastrianism. He was all-powerful and he was everywhere. So why would they go anywhere? This question of why is something I studied when I was doing those rhetoric classes. Aristotle said that rhetoric is the science of persuasion, not manipulation, persuasion. That there are basically three reasons why anyone's persuaded. That it makes sense to our intellect, it moves our heart, or the person telling us is trustworthy. That's three basic reasons why we'd be persuaded to do something. And yet, underneath that and behind that is still the question of motivation. Because I've had very trustworthy people tell me that, you know, I should do keto or something, and it didn't motivate me. It didn't move me at all. So behind that is the question of motivation. Why? And I'm going to come back to that at the end of the homily, but I want to point out some things that are very interesting about the gospel. The first words out of the Magi's mouth or where, and then we hear the star they had seen in his riding preceding them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. So the journey, the questioning, the star, it's all about location. The location mattered. We'll come back to why it mattered for the Magi, but let's just pause and say that over these weekends of Christmas, I've been talking about places of prayer in our life. Places of prayer. And obviously the Magi felt that there was a place they needed to be to give him homage. And let me mark that out too, because that's a huge thing. This is not, hey, we'd like to come see a celebrity. Giving him homage is somewhere in between pledging your service and offering worship. They were going someplace to give their entire lives. But they were going to a place. It wasn't something that they said, I'm going to do in my heart. It wasn't something that they said I could do at home. It wasn't something that they said, it doesn't matter where I am. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? They had to be in a place. Last weekend I talked about praying at home and praying in the family and how very important that is. It is very important. But today I want to talk about praying in sacred places. Churches and chapels and pilgrimage sites. And throughout my priesthood, I have had to face the question of motivation. A lot of people are not motivated to come to church I know that shocking news to you is very surprising. But even a lot of people who believe in God, even a lot of people who pray, even a lot of people who take some sense of faith seriously, refuse to go to any church. They say, well, I can pray at home, or I can pray in the deer stand, or I can pray in my car on the way to work. All those are true. They were all true of the Magi, too, except maybe the car on the way to work. And yet they had to go to a place, to a place, to a place. And to explain the importance of sacred places to our prayer life, I want to look at a star. I mean, it is Epiphany after all. I want to look at a star. But the star I want to look at is the one we're most familiar with. The one that affects us the most, not a new star in the sky. I want to give an analogy, a metaphor from the sun. Okay? Y'all are familiar with the sun? I know we haven't seen it in a while, but y'all are familiar that it exists. Okay. So let's talk about the sun, and let's talk about the sun in relationship to Earth. This is it's going to drive to a point here. If, like me, you have the complexion of Casper the Friendly Ghost, and it is a day in summer, and you're starting to get sunburned, where do you go? In the shade, or inside. Okay. So, let's pretend we come in church. I'm actually going to use church for the reverse of what I wanted to mean, but that's fine. Let's say we come into church. Does everybody here believe that coming into the church will protect you from the sun? Yes. Yeah, okay, good. Now, if I detonated a nuclear bomb at the post office over there in Erath, would anyone believe that the walls of this church would protect them?
No.
Physically. I mean, miracles happen, you know, but physically, no. And yet we believe that it'll protect us from the rays of the sun. Now, let me give you a little statistic here, okay? Every second, the sun puts out the same amount of energy as 25 trillion nuclear bombs that devastated Hiroshima. 25 trillion, every second. And yet somehow we know that walking under a tree is going to protect us. People talk about how God is all-powerful and God can do whatever he wants and God can meet us wherever he wants, and that is absolutely true. And yet, how often we can close ourselves in a building or under a tree, distract our attention, and prevent God from reaching us. Even though God is more powerful than the sun. We go into our phones, we go into our anxieties, we go into stores, we go into our homes, we go into sports stadiums, and everything about the place blocks his power from us. He's everywhere, but our minds aren't. And so the first thing that I want to say of why we come to sacred places is the answer that St. Thomas More gave. I think it's a brilliant answer. He said, absolutely. You can pray to God anywhere. Absolutely. God can be worshipped in your home or on the street corner. Absolutely. He said, but if you didn't have churches, nobody would do it. That's the problem. We'd all be so distracted all the time. We'd all be so wrapped up in our business and in the rat race so often if we didn't have places set aside that when we walked through the doors, we knew we were in the presence of God. Almost no one would stop and pray to God. In the same way that the sun puts out 25 trillion nuclear bombs worth of energy, and all it takes for me to never get a tan is to just stay indoors. So just stay indoors. God is pouring out his glory, pouring out his majesty, pouring out his power into the world. But if we're constantly in the shade of our own busyness, it doesn't affect us much. And that's just reality because of how we're built. But that's not the only reality. Let's do a second one here. The sun is, I want to make sure I get this right. I might get it wrong. I think it's right. Yeah. Okay. The sun is 93 million miles away. It takes 8 minutes for light to get from the sun to us. 93 million miles away. Normally, when people say, I want to go get a suntan, let me ask you this. Do they go to Cancun or do they go to Northern Canada? Cancun. And the way people normally explain that is they say, oh, it's on the equator, it's closer to the sun. The amount of difference between being at the high point of the equator and being on the North Pole, the amount of difference that makes compared to the distance we are from the sun, is you see these lovely people up here? Okay. Can y'all smell New Orleans? Neither can I. And yet the difference between them and me is the same difference compared to New Orleans, is the same difference between the equator and the North Pole compared to the sun. 0.004%. And yet, because of the way the earth is made, because of the way the sun works, all these different things, I'm not getting into it. You freeze to death at the North Pole, and you burn at the equator. You'll be white as a sheet in Northern Canada, and you'll tan in 5 seconds in Cancun. Even though it's the same sun that illumines the whole earth, even though it's the same sun that gives light to the whole globe, even though it's the same sun that's pouring out the same energy, and the difference in distance between those two places is minuscule, nevertheless, for a variety of reasons, the sun's power is focused at the equator in a way that it's not at the North Pole. The theologians of our church tell us quite accurately that God is everywhere. God shines his light everywhere. God is everywhere by his essence and presence. God is everywhere. There is no place God is not. And yet God's power is not manifested equally everywhere. There is a difference between Northern Canada and Cancun. There is a difference between my living room and this church. In this church, in this place, he makes new children in the baptismal font. In this church, in this place, he forgives sins in the confessional. In this church, in this place, he's present in the most holy Eucharist. In this church, in this place, he answers prayers, he works miracles, he gives consolation to the desolate. He does so much here. And we know that this is not the only place he works. He works at every church, and he works even more powerfully at pilgrimage sites, at the waters of Lourdes, or in the skies of Fatima, or in the hills of Guadalupe. He works with power. And if you want to get a suntan, you don't go to Northern Canada, you go to Cancun. And if you want to know God's power, you don't go to Walmart. You go to church. You go to church and to shrines and to pilgrim locations because that's where his power has manifested. That's where his power is focused. That's where his power transforms the world. You can get a sunburn in Saskatchewan. It's possible. It's not as likely as in Colombia. Dear brothers and sisters, these are the reasons why. The reasons why. Both because of us, our brains don't work in such a way that we can just pray everywhere. We get distracted, we get blocked, we get caught up in life. And because of the free choice of God, that he freely wills to manifest his power in certain places. And isn't that, in fact, what we're celebrating in the entire Christmas season? That the God who is everywhere took on flesh in Bethlehem. That the God who is everywhere was born of the Virgin Mary. That the God who is everywhere was laid in the manger. That yes, he is everywhere, and yet he took on humanity in a certain place. And that place was not Persia. That place was not Nabathea. That place was not Yemen, the possibilities of where the wise men were from. That place was Bethlehem. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have come to do him homage. The wise men understood stars. They understood the sun. They understood the eternal Son of God. They weren't going to stay at home in the shade and think that it would be the same. They got up. They made a journey. They left everything behind. And because they did so, they encountered Christ in a certain place. Dear brothers and sisters, so must we do. Get up, leave home, come to church, go to sacred places, meet God where our minds are prepared. Meet God where his power is revealed. God bless you all.